This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is David Newman, CEO of the National Pork Board. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with NPB's David Newman next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 530 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Agriculture is no doubt a cyclical business, and the nation's pork producers are well familiar with the income extremes of the business. David Newman is CEO of the National Pork Board and a pork producer himself with his family. He says producers are finally seeing better returns for their animals.
Well, the business for the last year has been quite good. I would say we have some wind at our back, and by wind at our back, I mean our producers are finding some profitability. So versus where we were when I started my previous role at the National Pork Board in June of 2023, when our producers were losing, $30 a head, how the pendulum swings, and you fast forward a couple of years here, where demand has been really good. There's a lot of dynamic factors that are impacting the business currently, but, pork demand by and large is really good, both, domestically, internationally, even though we do have our challenges. The good news is that if you're a producer in the business here in the U.S. right now, you're using risk management, you're looking at the industry as a whole, you can find profitability. And at the end of the day, this is a darn tough business for anybody in agriculture, as we know. So when we can really celebrate that our farmers are making money the way they deserve to be making money, that's a win for me.
Let's talk about the effort toward environmental stewardship, the effort towards sustainability, and the need to maintain profitability. From an industry and from a producer's standpoint, you've got three things to balance there, and one is critical.
You're exactly right. I mean, let's start in reverse order there and say producer profitability is crucial to the business. In everything we do, and moving forward in this new role, one of the things that I talk about and is an expectation from our 15-member board, who are my bosses, is the things that we invest in on behalf of the producers we represent with their money is that we are constantly thinking about this return on investment. So what are we doing that can actually impact our producers in a positive way, whether that is environmental sustainability, as you mentioned just a minute ago, whether that is demand, whether that is swine health, some of the things that are around our new strategic pillars. But at the end of the day, we've got to find a way to make our farmers more money. We've got to find a way to help them be profitable in this business they represent. So it's a mixture of the communities we live in, being good stewards of the land. We have a very strong sustainability program that we work hand in hand with our state partners on here in the U.S. Even thinking about animal welfare, thinking about some of the core pillars of our business. Think about things like pork quality assurance, a program we've had for decades in the pork business that not only get us to the right place from an environmental standpoint and a management of pigs and welfare standpoint, but also the welfare of the people who are raising them. And that's really crucial. And it's not just crucial for people, pigs, and planet, as I sometimes say, but it's also crucial for confidence in the international marketplace, so the people we're doing business with. I often say for a sports analogy is our producers from conception to consumption, if we think about this in a football analogy, the producers carry the ball to the 90-yard line before they hand it off to someone else to run it in for a touchdown. And we've got to make sure that in that process, Our producers are aligning with the industry to really build support for the future generations that we represent.
So now let's talk about the industry and moving forward. What would you say are your biggest challenges, and what would you say are your best opportunities, whether here in the U.S. or whether around the globe?
Sure. Well, let's start with the challenges first. So part of the strategic planning process that we have just recently gone through and now have launched is about this narrow focus, as I mentioned. It's three primary strategic pillars. I said three, not 30, right? So making sure that we get this focus is important. When you do strategic planning, it's not only about the opportunities, but it is about the challenges. And so one of those challenges has been demand. So if you back this up for the last several years, especially, we just went through a robust process about the need for improving domestic pork demand. And so from a global lens of the U.S. business, we have challenges. We have challenges in the international marketplace. You hear about them every day in the news. And while we're not the policy organization, something we pay very close attention to is, what are the trade barriers? What are the, what is this tariff situation doing? What are our competitors doing? For example, Brazil is now the least cost producer of pork. So what are we doing to differentiate ourselves in the market? That's a challenge and an opportunity. Next is just this continuous adapting to change. Our producers in every state are facing something different. So the challenges for producers in North Carolina versus Minnesota versus Oklahoma, as an example, are radically different. And we work on a daily basis to make sure, how are we working with our state partners? There's 42 state pork associations that are partners up to the National Pork Board. How do we work with them to adapt to continuous change for the things that are impacting the boots on the ground business every day? So a challenge and an opportunity. And the third thing I would say goes to the third portion of our strategic pillar, which is about swine health. Swine health, it continues to be a challenge. It continues to be something that is critically important to the business. So we'll really frame it into two buckets. How are we focusing on foreign animal disease or these transboundary diseases that are impacting the pig business globally? How do we keep foreign animal disease out of the United States? Think about African swine fever being a crucial one that's been highlighted in the business for a long time. But also, how are we tackling challenges around endemic disease? So if you look at the diseases in the U.S. and you think about the impact of PRRS and PDV has been on our business for a very long time, those diseases cost our producers billions of dollars a year. They're hard on production systems. Candidly, they're hard on people. So we want to make sure that we're looking through the lens of these challenges and saying, how can we be thought leaders with the rest of the business moving forward to tackle those? So there are challenges out there for sure.
So I'm going to push you through the strategic plan and get to success. The plan showing the value of pork, anticipating and adapting change, and improving the lives of pigs and people. This is your new strategic plan. In brief, how do you define success, and how long does it take to see the success that you're aiming for?
Well, when we look at the strategic plan, there's three primary pillars. One is long-term global demand. Two is our state partners and this adapting to continuous change for the producers. And three, the third leg of that pillar is really about pigs and people in this national swine health strategy. Each one of them has a different metric for success. What I would say is, let's go back to the beginning of this conversation and let's start with number one and say, if we're thinking about demand and we're thinking about how we measure success, we've got to find something that not only measures volume, but also measures value. And so let me dig a little deeper on that for one moment. Is this isn't just about consumption and how do we get people to eat more pork. It's about how do we get people to eat more pork at a higher value. So how do we measure volume, things like retail? If we think about the volume that's moving through retail and food service is definitely factors, but also things like household penetration, repeat purchase rate, even thinking further about how do we think about consumption of both processed and fresh, which is really important. But at the end of the day, you got to swing the pendulum back to the beginning side of this business. Remember the football analogy I had to say, all of that is great, moving product through the system to the consumer, which we can never forget about. But it also has to equate to producer profitability. So the measurement is, A, are we moving product to consumers, the product they want to be delivered to them? Are we moving that through the system at a value that is positive for the business, positive for the consumer, but are we doing it profitably for producers? Because at the end of the day, the people who really pay the bills, who pay the ticket at the checkoff, we want those people to be successful and be able to transition their business to future generations. So that's crucially important. When we think about swine health, as another example, a measurement of success is are we keeping foreign animal disease out? I mean, that may sound like an easy metric, but what are we doing to measure it there? Let's keep it out, keep trade open so we don't have any trade limiting diseases impacting the business. From an endemic standpoint, it's about disease reduction, potentially even disease elimination. How are we helping our producers to have healthier herds? And that's not something that's done in a vacuum. It is something that it can't be solely done, Jeff, by National Pork Board. It has to be this broad partnership with the state organizations, with state animal health officials, with the numerous groups around the country that represent swine health and veterinary medicine. So these measurements can be challenging, but they are measurable, and that is part of the focus when we think about aligning to a strategic plan.
Okay, domestically, how do you keep up with the generation alphabet? Because we've come a long way from the boomers to the generations defined by a letter.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because if you look at our recent launch of our new domestic work, our new domestic brand, which is the Taste What Pork Can Do campaign we launched in May. That's an initiative that we launched. That was actually my previous role was Senior Vice President of Market Growth at National Pork Board, working on both international and domestic. What we did before we launched this brand campaign is we really pulled on data. We are a very data-driven business today. I think that's something that you cannot underestimate, because you can't manage what you don't measure, something our producers know very well. When we think about that, we did a consumer segmentation study, which means we looked at the business through the lens of the consumer. The most important person in our supply chain are those people who are spending their money eating our product and returning to do it billions of times a year over. So we got to focus on them. We looked at that through a generational lens. So you just mentioned the boomer generation, for example, has been crucial to driving pork sales and volume and value for a very long time. But as we start thinking about the generations now that have buying power, we've got to go down the chain and think about millennials and Gen Zs. Now, of course, we have alpha beta, which you mentioned just a moment ago, which will be the generations we'll have to be focusing on as we move forward. But right now, Gen Zs and millennials have the buying power. They have children. They are influencing the food system on a daily basis. So all the factors around the Taste What Pork Can Do campaign are built very specifically around focusing on generation and what drives the generations moving forward, which are three primary things. One, taste and flavor. Number one, and this is taking cost out of the equation, because cost is always a factor for the food supply chain, so, or any supply chain for that matter. Taste and flavor is number one. Two is human nutrition, good for me, good for my family. Balance, very important area that we're focusing on right now, as is the whole world. And number three is about convenience and versatility, because we are a world on the go. How are we meeting those consumers where they're at the right time if we want to be a part of their consideration set for meals across breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
How has this MAHA effort and the new food guide report that will come out, how can they be a catalyst, or how can they be a headwind?
Well, it's definitely one of the top priorities and one of the things that the entire ag sector is looking at today, this MAHA movement. So again, while we're not the policy organization, we do have an incredible amount of focus on human nutrition research. We have a team here at National Pork Board that works on human nutrition research. That means getting the right peer-reviewed, published information in the hands of the decision makers that influence dietary guidelines through this MAHA movement. So focusing on pork as a protein, as part of a healthy diet, is really important and actually is really positive for the pork business, because we are an incredibly nutrient-dense protein, and protein is having a moment. Now, there's a lot of complexities to the MAHA. There's a lot of complexities to dietary guidelines. What we want to do is make sure that we are providing the right research and the right information, factual information, that reassures the consumer that pork does play a part in their everyday diet.
So how has online shopping and delivery of food impacted the way that you influence and communicate with consumers?
Yeah, in a huge way. And I'll just start by saying, just think about how many items are purchased through a cell phone every day. So the digital strategy is very important. Our new campaign has an enormous component that's digitally focused, because so many people are shopping online through their phone. So we've got to meet them where they're at, as I mentioned a moment ago. So that's part of the strategy right there. This thing about e-commerce is growing. It's huge. This matches that convenience and versatility and on the go. And something that's really interesting, if you look at the consumer today and you think about this from a segmenting of consumers, as we just mentioned a minute ago, by generation and in a mostly digital world, what's interesting now is that before COVID-19, we were a world very focused on food service and away from home eating. And there were literally apartment buildings being built all over the world that didn't have kitchens in them because it wasn't part of the future. Suddenly you have this global disease that impacts everyone on the planet. Nobody left out of this. And as I sometimes say, we taught 8 billion people how to cook at home again. And fast forward to where we are now, post-COVID, you now have a world where at-home eating is on the rise, and there are more people eating at home now than there has ever been before. So they're utilizing e-commerce. They're utilizing home meal replacement. So think about pre-cooked, ready-to-eat, ready-to-serve, meals in minutes, those type of things. We have to be focusing on those areas outside of traditional media that we would have utilized in the past.
So, David, a time ago, there was pork the other white meat, and now you have a new slogan.
There's a long history of pork marketing at the National Pork Board and throughout the rest of the industry since the checkoff was started 40 years ago this year. And probably everybody out there is familiar with the other white meat campaign. And now we have transitioned to the new brand campaign of the National Pork Board, working with and in support of the rest of the brands that are out here in the business. And that is our Taste What Pork Can Do campaign. And words matter. This is really important. And I'll just break them down very quickly. Is we no longer use the other white meat. That was built at a very different time with a very different consumer. Just think about where the baby boomer generation was 40 years ago today. They were what we are focusing on today is Gen Zs and millennials. So they were people who were having children. They were mid-career or early career. So they were part of the focus. This was also a time of the rise of other proteins, hence the word the other. So when you think about that, it was a very interesting time in the industry where lean was very important, where you had competing proteins, because candidly, in 1985, pork was the number one protein in the United States. So it was meant as a form of keeping up with the times and the business and evolving around consumers. The reality of the matter is that as generations have changed and as needs have changed, it's time to also evolve, like any good business would do, into the things that matter most. So if we think about Taste What Pork Can Do, this was not built in a vacuum at the National Pork Board. This was part of an extensive consumer research plan that we built out and a brand strategy where we actually tested these messages with consumers. So taste, the number one thing affecting the consumer, right, is taste and flavor. So taste what pork can do. So we're taking an ownable position, an unapologetic position for the product we make. But what can pork do? Can pork be a part of a healthy diet? Yes. Can pork be part of numerous cultural cuisines? Yes. One of our staff members, Patrick Fleming, who leads our domestic marketing team, often says something that resonates well with me. It's you can't call a authentic Mexican cuisine authentic if it doesn't have pork in it. If it's not El Pastor or it's not pork carnitas, that's not authentic. You can't have authentic Chinese without pork. You can't have authentic Italian without pork. So culturally and around the world, pork is still incredibly relevant. So this Taste What Pork Can Do campaign really celebrates the diversity of pork. So when I say diversity, something interesting to point out is also around, think about fresh versus processed. We celebrate bacon every day in this business because it's wildly popular amongst consumers. But there are a lot of consumers who don't know that sausage, pepperoni, and ham are pork. So you've got to really remind them that pork is a part of their everyday diet already, and how can we build that across the category even farther? Think about into loin chops or ground pork or other items that are driving on taste and flavor, on human nutrition, and on convenience and versatility in dishes.
Talk about this market and the significance of the globe and exports to the industry, and how is the Pork Board continuing to engage from an educational standpoint to consumers that are around the world?
When we think about this export market, this has been an incredibly important part of producer profitability and production growth over the last 30 years. It's hard to believe that in 1995, we were a net importer of pork. And in 2025, we export 30% of our total production beyond the borders. So being relevant and relatable to those consumers around the world, celebrating the value and quality of U.S. pork is very important. Now, where is this moving into the future is another question, and is that at 30%, that's forecasted to probably stay relatively stable, around 30% of our total production. And there are many different factors that are affecting that, but not only do we educate those consumers with work through U.S. Meat Export Federation, but we promote pork under a U.S. pork brand that is managed by the National Pork Board. We actively promote pork in all of those countries around the world, including emerging markets like the Philippines and Vietnam. So there's a lot of opportunity around the globe for U.S. pork moving forward. And here's my but when we think about that 28 billion pounds of annual production, 20 billion pounds of that production is consumed within the borders of the United States. So about 8 billion pounds exported. Now there's some interesting nuances there when you think about offal items. That's crucial. What's happening in China right now is an example there. So we got to keep our eye on the prize. But 20 billion pounds of that production is consumed here in the U.S., which is why we put such a focus on domestic demand. So this is about really hitting both sides, pedal to the floor, Jeff, on both continuing to grow and think about what matters to our international customers, and then continuing to grow and focusing on what matters for our domestic consumers.
Well, David Newman, we congratulate you on your position with the National Pork Board, obviously involved in the industry, not just from a leadership standpoint, but from a producer standpoint as well. Let's talk about your future, and let's talk about the last word of the day that, sir, belongs to you.
Okay, well, thank you. I would just start by saying that I'm humbled to have the opportunity to serve the producers here in the U.S. And it's critically important to me. It's been in my blood my entire life, as I mentioned before. Everything my family has is because a pig existed. And so I am passionate about carrying this beyond one family to the 60,000 families we help represent every day at Checkoff. And so in this new role, my goal is to listen and assess, to really understand what is impacting our producers and our industry and how we can make it better. Then it's to align and refine the strategy that we have, working with our 15-member board of directors, working with our state partners, and the rest of the allied business. And then really, it's about focus and taking action and building momentum. We have a lot to be excited about. We have a lot of opportunity moving forward. I firmly believe that. And we're going to work hard, and I'm going to work hard every day on behalf of the producers we represent, and just encourage everyone to reach out at any given time to me or the rest of our team at National Pork Board, because we really have the producers and their future in our mind every single day in what we're doing when we take action.
Our thanks to David Newman, CEO of the National Pork Board. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.